RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian government committed to reaching food sovereignty. House Commission 3 urged integrity of Judicial Commission commissioner. Divestment of Freeport shares through IPO provides opportunity to foreign investors. Now the news in detail. During peak event of the 35th World Food Day, the Indonesian government was committed to reach food sovereignty. This year's World Food Day adopted the theme Empowering Farmers as the mover of the economy in an effort to reach food sovereignty. This theme is a concrete response from Indonesia to the global call in related to social protection and agriculture. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman said in South Sumatra. In the meantime, the international theme of the 2015 World Food Day is social protection and agriculture breaking the cycle of rural poverty. According to Amran, the theme is a call to all sides in the world to pay a bigger attention to the needs of groups of vulnerable people and poor people in the villages. Member of the Indonesian House Commission 3, TB Sunmanjaya, encouraged commissioners of the Judicial Commission to be able to conduct monitoring tasks toward judge performance in each court level within the country to gain public trust toward the court institutions. The Judicial Commission's commissioner needs to have sufficient knowledge and experience in the field of law in accordance with the requirements set by the legislation. In a fit and proper test conducted by the House Commission 3, Sunmanjaya also urged each commissioner of the Judicial Commission to have integrity and personality proficient in performing the task of supervision toward judges in Indonesia.
Melaksanakan perintah undang-undang dasar.
To implement the Constitution's command, particularly in Article 24b of Paragraph 2, saying that members of the Judicial Commission should have knowledge and experience in the field of law as well as the integrity and an admirable personality. The Indonesian House Commission 3 is conducted fit and proper test towards 7 candidates of the Commissioners of Judicial Commission proposed by the government. The 7 names were Maradaman Harahap, Sukma Violeta, Sumartoyo, Wiwi Awiyati, Farid Wajdi, Harjono, and Joko Sasmito. The candidates came from different backgrounds, such as former judges, legal practitioners, academics, and the public. Parliament has the authority to approve and not approve the 7 names of the candidates for the commissioners. The chairman of Commission 7 of House of Representatives, Kardaya Warnika, said the divestment of Freeport shares to public through initial public offering IPO was not the best option. If Freeport choose the IPO, it means that the shares are not taken by the government because it can be bought by other people or foreign investors, Kardaya said in Jakarta recently. According to him, the divestment of Freeport should give benefit for the government and Indonesian people. He considered IPO still could provide opportunity for foreign investors to manage of Indonesia's natural wealth. IPO was not divestment in the contract. Foreign investors can buy it, whereas purpose of divestment is for taking control of national goal, he added. On 14 October 2015, Freeport should have started offering its shares to the government. However, the U.S.-based company extended the time of divestment for the revision of Law No. 77 of 2014. The shares, based on priorities, will be offered to the government. On Saturday, October 17th, Indonesia had just celebrated the World Food Day 2015, and to mark that occasion, the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, of the United Nations also celebrated their 70-year anniversary. To commemorate it, FAO Indonesia has published a set of 8 postage stamps and a first day cover produced in collaboration with the Ministry of Communication and the Indonesia Post Office. All stamps are associated with FAO projects. The first day cover was signed by the Vice President of Indonesia. FAO is commemorating 70 years of worldwide action toward the eradication of poverty, hunger, food insecurity, and malnutrition while supporting the sustainable management and utilization of natural resources. Indonesia became a member of FAO in 1948 and established the organization representation in 1979. Collaboration has come a long way. By now, over 650 programs and projects have been implemented by FAO throughout Indonesia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Pekanbaru Office of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG Pekanbaru, has detected 813 hotspots across 7 provinces in Sumatra Islands. Based on data received on Sunday, 645 hotspots have been identified in the province of South Sumatra. Furthermore, hotspots were detected in Jambi with 70 spots, head of BMKG Pekanbaru Sugarin said in Pekanbaru. According to Sugarin, there are 27 hotspots in Lampung, 11 in Bangka Belitung, 5 hotspots in Bengkulu, and 6 in Riau Islands. Meanwhile, Sugarin explained that 49 hotspots were observed in Riau, 35 of which caused land and forest fires with a confidence level of above 70%. With skyrocketing hotspots in Sumatra and Riau, some areas in the two regions are shrouded in thick smoke. Currently in Palawan, the visibility is around 400 meters, Rengat 600 meters, Pekanbaru 800 meters, and Dumai City 500 meters. Earlier, Indonesia and Japan have agreed to join in the ongoing firefighting effort by delivering a special liquid substance to certain areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan, where there are still many hotspots. The Jakarta Composite Index JCI rose 0.87% to 4,561.54 at Monday's opening at 9:20 a.m. when the rupiah struggled, appreciating by 9 points to 13,531 per US dollar amid a lack of positive sentiments in the market. All of the sectoral indices in the Indonesia Stock Exchange IDX recorded gains at opening, led by the miscellaneous index 1.95%, the manufacturer sector index 1.18%, and the consumer sector index 1.13%. Meanwhile, Asian equities market varied. The MSCI Asia Pacific index reduced by 0.4%. South Korea's KOSPI increased 0.2% ahead of China's gross domestic product GDP data release, which was expected to be disappointing. Economists predicted that China would score 6.8% growth in the third quarter of this year, or lower compared to a 7% increase in the previous quarter. Bank Permata economist Joshua Pardede projected the rupiah would depreciate on Monday as the slowing Chinese GDP would be released while the US dollar gained some traction from better economic figures. Head of Development Planning Agency or BAPPDA Jakarta, Tuti Kusumawati, said there were many regulations updated on local reclamation regulations in Jakarta. One of them was sectoral division of 17 islands that were included in the list of reclamation. Tuti explained the draft of regulation, which would be proposed, would divide 17 islands along the northern of Jakarta into three sectors. Each sector would be developed in accordance with its respective sections. It will be divided into three development sectors on Monday. Tuti stated that the island in the western part would become a residential, tourist, and recreation areas. For the central island, she added, would be a commercial area such as office activities and trade industries. While the eastern part, they would a port of Jakarta provincial distribution center of goods that enter Jakarta. The division of the sectors has not been set in the previous regulation. Therefore, the draft of regulation would be focusing on arrangement of reclaimed island according to its function. The last item, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said the President Cup competition was a great success. The President is delighted, Basuki said. According to Governor, it could be seen from fair match between the participating teams. No players were seen protesting or attacking the referee during the game, he said on Monday, October 19th. Governor Basuki also praised the prize given to winner, which is 4.2 billion rupiah. This can improve professionalism. Jakarta was an alert for the 2015 President Cup in Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. Four layers of security were placed to anticipate clashes between supporters of the teams, especially between Jakmania, supporters of Persija and Boboto, supporters of Persib. Around 9,000 personnel from the police and TNI stood guard in Gelora Bung Karno. Persib Bandung won the match last night. Ahmad Julianto and Makan Konate made two goals for the team in the first round. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government committed to reaching food sovereignty. House Commission 3 urged integrity of Judicial Commission Commissioner. Divestment of Freeport shares through IPO provides opportunity to foreign investors. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Fight Smuggling, Reduce State Loss. Listener, Indonesian President Joko Widodo on October 16, 2015, witnessed the destroying of illegal textile imports in the office of the Directorate General of Customs and Excise. The goods amounting to 4 containers of smuggled fabrics from China and worth $1.28 million, equivalent to 4 billion rupiahs. 2 containers were seized at Tanjung Priok Port and the other 2 were secured from Purwakarta. The country losses was about 2.3 billion rupiahs due to unpaid customs duties. The presence of President Joko Widodo together with Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro and head of the Investment Coordinating Board Franky Sibarani, who directly saw the findings of the contraband goods, is a proof of the government's seriousness to combat smuggling in all its forms. President Joko Widodo revealed that illegal imports is damaging the national industry and undermining the national market. As a result, the Indonesian industry cannot compete on both domestic and international markets. Previously, the Indonesian Textile Association had complained on the difficulty of competing in the domestic market due to rampant illegal imports, which ultimately has made the national textile industry hard to develop. It is natural that President Joko Widodo was upset and angry over illegal imports because it has led to the domestic production plummeted and sales of textiles down by 30-40%. And even more alarming is the number of layoffs will increase because the company in the downstream sector would prefer to buy illegal products. The Indonesian government's commitment to combat illegal imports, particularly in the textile sector, certainly deserves appreciation. Incessant efforts to prevent smuggling will prevent layoffs, and the textile industry will be able to compete in the domestic market. As is known, textile industry is a labor-intensive sector that involves many workers. Eradication of smuggling will certainly give a lot of good for the people of Indonesia, especially those working in the sector susceptible to smuggling. Layoffs can be prevented, and investment, especially in the textile sector, will increase. Thus, Indonesian textiles can compete not only with imported products at home, but also in the international area. On the other hand, the government will get import duties of goods imported. Supervision of illegal entry of textile products must be further improved. Synergies between the Directorate General of Customs and Excise and the relevant parties should also be further enhanced, especially at several entrances susceptible to illegal imports. And listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 19, 1974, when Niue gained its independence from New Zealand. Niue is an island country in the South Pacific Ocean. In a document dated October 19, 1901, the King and Chiefs of Niue consented to Queen Victoria taking possession of this island. A dispatch of the Secretary of State for the Colonies from the Governor of New Zealand referred to the views expressed by the chiefs in favor of annexation and to this document as the deed of cession. A British protectorate was declared, but it was short-lived. Niue was brought within the boundaries of New Zealand on June 11, 1901 by the same order and proclamation as the Cook Islands. Self-constitution following a referendum in 1974, whereby Niueans were given three options, namely independence, self-government, or continuation as a New Zealand territory. The majority selected self-government, and Niue's written constitution was promulgated as supreme law. Robert Rex, ethnically part European, part native, was appointed the first premier, a position he held until his death 18 years later. Rex was the first Niuean to receive a knighthood in 1984. And the next event was in 1987 about Bintaro tragedy. Bintaro train crash was a catastrophic crash incident between two trains in Pondok Betung vicinity Bintaro, Tangerang, Indonesia on October 19, 1987. It was the worst accident of Indonesian railway transportation to date. A train departing from Rangkas Bitung collided with another train from Tanah Abang station. Investigation indicated negligence from a Sudimara station officer who gave a safe signal to a train from Rangkas Bitung despite lack of safety confirmation from Kebayoran station. This was done due to the crowded lanes in Sudimara station. And the last event was in 1999 when Indonesia relinquished control of East Timor. East Timor is a country in maritime Southeast Asia. East Timor was colonized by Portugal in the 16th century and was known as Portuguese Timor until Portugal's decolonization of the country. In late 1975, East Timor declared its independence, but later that year was invaded and occupied by Indonesia and was declared Indonesia's 27th province the following year. The Indonesian occupation of East Timor was characterized by a highly violent decades-long conflict between separatist groups, especially Fretilin and the Indonesian military. In 1999, following the United Nations-sponsored Act of Self-Determination, Indonesia relinquished control of the territory. East Timor became the first new sovereign state of the 21st century on May 20, 2002, and joined the United Nations and the Community of Portuguese Language Countries. In 2011, East Timor announced its intention to gain membership status in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations by applying to become its 11th member, but it is one of only two predominantly Christian nations in Southeast Asia, the other being the Philippines. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. In today's edition, it's on the Indonesian government appreciation on the fall of Malaysian MH17 aircraft. Stay tuned. The government of Indonesia appreciates the end result of investigations carried out by the Dutch Aviation Safety Agency, or OVV, announced on October 13, 2015, in Den Haag, Netherlands. The Indonesian government continues to follow since the beginning the development process that led to the investigation on the accident, which also claimed the lives of 12 Indonesian citizens. In various international forums, the Indonesian government continues to be actively involved in the discussions related to the MH17 crash incident. Indonesia is a co-sponsor of a United Nations Security Council resolution in 2014, which, among others, contains legal proceedings for the parties responsible. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, in Jakarta recently said that the government of Indonesia noted the effort that has been made by OVV in investigating aspects related to the safety of flight MH17. For the government of Indonesia, the result of these investigations can be a source of further reference in the processes taking place in the United Nations. The OVV investigation mentions that the plane exploded in the air after being hit by Russian-made Buk missiles fired from the ground. However, the Russian government denied involvement and said that the investigation conducted by the OVV is still biased. The majority of victims of the plane that crashed on the territory of the conflict East Ukraine on July 17, 2014, are Dutch citizens, in addition to other passengers from Australia, Belgium, Malaysia, Ukraine, and Indonesia. Currently, Indonesia has again underlined the importance of a transparent and accountable international investigation. Through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the government called on all parties, including the international community, to continue to cooperate closely in effort to achieve a sense of justice and humanity for the families of victims of the MH17 incidents. I reported earlier on Tuesday, the Dutch government has released a fact that the Malaysia Airlines MH17 aircraft was hit by missiles made in Russia. Director of the Dutch Safety Board, J.B. Joostra, however, did not mention who was behind the rocket attacks. He only revealed that the flight crew of the MH17 had nothing to do with the incident. Russian ambassador to Malaysia, Valery Yermolov, said Russia no longer owned such missiles from 2011, the year when the warhead was decommissioned. That was Focus for Today.
Listener, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta Today, Monday, October 19, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes, "Difficult times have not been over. A number of problems have been successfully overcome by President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala in their first year in office. However, there are still many things to be resolved, particularly related to the improvement of economic law enforcement and increased welfare. Due to the government's internal solidarity and communication with political parties, especially the party supporters, challenges must be overcome by Jokowi and Yusuf Kala administration. During this time, these problems have often interfered the effectiveness of the government's performance. In fact, according to Vice Chairman of Indonesian Movement Party, Gerindra, Indra Sufmi Dasko Ahmad, the biggest challenge for the next government is to regulate the ministers in the working cabinet. Many plans are not running because ministers do not have one voice and have not been coordinated. Media Indonesia writes, keep football passion. 2015 President's Cup ended last night, marked by the success of Persib Bandung, which became the champion after beating Sriwijaya FC 2-0 in the final. Similar tournaments or competitions must be kept alive to keep the passion of football that had dimmed since the Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI, was frozen. The President's Cup, held by Mahaka Sports and Entertainment, is one of the tournaments that took place after the government did not acknowledge PSSI on April 17, and FIFA has banned PSSI since May the 30th. Previously, the transition team formed by Minister of Sports Affairs Imam Nahrawi organized the Independence Cup. The minister tried to encourage other parties to organize the tournament. On the competition, he said it would be organized after FIFA Congress is held on February 26, 2016. According to the Secretary General of the Indonesian Professional Sports Agency, Heru Nugroho, after the President Cup, there are at least four promoters who have voluntarily proposed to hold the tournament. One of them is Marahalim Cup, but the number of participants and schedule has not been determined yet. Although it was haunted by fears of unrest due to a long fight between supporters of Persija Jakarta or Jackmania and Persib supporters, the final of the President Cup has taken place smoothly. And we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia, which writes CEO optimistic on the fourth phase of economic policy. CEOs are of the view that the new remuneration scheme set forth in the fourth phase of economic policy package has boosted a sense of confidence among investors to enter into the labor-intensive industries. The CEOs interviewed last week said they can receive this wage determination scheme since in the past 5 years the determination of wages has been uncertain. This policy can also realize the government's target to provide employment to 2 million people every year. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. During peak event of the 35th World Food Day, the Indonesian government was committed to reach food sovereignty. This year's World Food Day adopted the theme Empowering Farmers as the Mover of the Economy in an Effort to Reach Food Sovereignty. Member of the Indonesian House Commission 3, TB Sunmanjaya, encouraged commissioners of the Judicial Commission to be able to conduct monitoring tasks toward judge performance in each court level within the country to gain public trust toward the court institution. The Chairman of Commission 7 of House of Representatives, Kardaya Warnika, said the divestment of Freeport shares to public through initial public offering IPO was not the best option. On Saturday, October 17th, Indonesia had just celebrated the World Food Day 2015, and to mark that occasion, the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, of the United Nations also celebrated their 70-year anniversary. Pekanbaru Office of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, has detected 813 hotspots across 7 provinces in Sumatra Islands. Jakarta Composite Index rose 0.87% to 4,561.54 at Monday's opening, 9:20 a.m., while the rupiah struggled, appreciating by 9 points to 13,531 per US dollar amid a lack of positive sentiments in the market. Head of Development Planning Agency or BAPEDA Jakarta, Tuti Kusumawati, said there were many regulations updated on local reclamation regulations in Jakarta. One of them was sectoral division of 17 islands that were included in the list of reclamation. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that President Cup competition was a great success. The president is delighted, Basuki said. According to Governor, it could be seen from fair match between the participating teams. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Kamo Mose Dance from Central Buton Regency in Southeast Sulawesi Province. So stay tuned. Listener, there are many ways that people can do to find their loved ones. In this modern era, many people use social media such as Facebook, Twitter, etc. to find friends or loved ones. There are people who fail, but there are some who succeed. In the past, some traditional people held various arts and traditions to find their loved ones. Like traditional people in Central Buton Regency, Southeast Sulawesi, they hold Kamo Mose to find their lovers. In Buton language, Kamo Mose comes from words of Komomo and Poose Ose. Komomo means flower that will bloom, while Poose Ose means line up orderly. So, Kamo Mose dance is traditional dance where young girls sit in line orderly and then young men come to stare and to pay attention to those young girls. If there is a young man interested in a young girl, the young man will fill the girl's tray with fried peanuts. This unique Kamo Mose tradition is initially begun by Linda traditional dance performed by a number of young girls accompanied by traditional music. After the dance performance ends, a number of young men line up surrounding dozens of girls who are waiting by holding containers with them to accommodate peanuts thrown away by the men. Parents deliberately involve their daughters to find their lovers. Family who becomes the host of the tradition must wear traditional clothes, which are usually worn during wedding ceremony to distinguish them with other participants. Listener, besides peanuts, young men who participate in this tradition and have determined their choices may throw other objects such as gold or silver coins. But if there is a young man who is not attracted to all girls, they may not feel someone's tray in the event. The parents who know the code will follow up the customs. Usually, the family will communicate immediately with the girl's family to propose directly and then continues with marriage. Today, local wisdom of Central Bhutan people is developed by regional government of Central Bhutan to preserve the tradition to become an interesting cultural attraction for tourists who come to the region. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kamomose Dance. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Ke Pasar Modern, which in English means going to modern market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me.
Pasar modern. Pasar modern, which means modern market. Berapa lama? Berapa lama, which means how long. Tinggal. Tinggal, which means live. Delapan bulan. Delapan bulan, which means 8 months. Berbelanja. Berbelanja, which means to go shopping. Bersih. Bersih, which means clean. Nyaman. Nyaman, which means comfortable. Hari Minggu. Hari Minggu, which means Sunday. Bersama-sama. Bersama-sama, which means together. Membeli. Membeli, which means to buy. Sayur. Sayur, which means vegetable. Buah-buahan. Buah-buahan, which means fruit. Daging. Daging, which means meat. Perlengkapan mandi. Perlengkapan mandi, which means toiletry. Ikan. Ikan, which means fish. Sampo. Sampo, which means shampoo. Sabun mandi. Sabun mandi, which means soap. Pasta gigi. Pasta gigi, which means toothpaste. Jemput. Jemput, which means to pick up.
Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Pasar Modern, or in English means going to the modern market. The conversation is between Fikran and Nita in front of the house.
Nita, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di Jakarta? Nita, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di Jakarta? Which means, Nita, how long have you been living in Jakarta?
Saya sudah 8 bulan di Jakarta. Saya sudah 8 bulan di Jakarta. which means I have been 8 months in Jakarta.
Selama di Jakarta, pernahkah kamu berbelanja di pasar modern? Selama di Jakarta, pernahkah kamu berbelanja di pasar modern? Which means, during in Jakarta, have you ever gone shopping at modern market?
Apa itu pasar modern? Apa itu pasar modern? Which means, what is modern market? Apakah sama seperti supermarket? Apakah sama seperti supermarket? Which means, is it similar to a supermarket?
Pasar modern adalah pasar tradisional yang berkonsep modern karena tempatnya yang lebih bersih dan nyaman daripada pasar tradisional. Pasar modern adalah pasar tradisional yang berkonsep modern karena tempatnya yang lebih bersih dan nyaman daripada pasar tradisional. Which means, modern market is a traditional market with a modern concept because it is cleaner and comfortable than the traditional market. Di sana juga ada penjual sayur, buah-buahan, bumbu dapur, juga daging dan ikan. Di sana juga ada penjual sayur, buah-buahan, bumbu dapur, juga daging dan ikan. Which means, there are also vendors who sell vegetables, fruits, cooking ingredients, meat and fish.
Kalau begitu, hari Minggu kita sama-sama pergi ke pasar modern. Kalau begitu, hari Minggu kita sama-sama pergi ke pasar modern. Which means, alright, we go there on Sunday. Di sana, saya juga mau berbelanja sayuran dan buah-buahan. Di sana, saya juga mau berbelanja sayuran dan buah-buahan. Which means, I also want to buy vegetables and fruits there. Selain itu, saya juga mau membeli perlengkapan mandi seperti sampo, sabun mandi, pasta gigi, dan lain-lain. Selain itu, saya juga mau membeli perlengkapan mandi seperti sampo, sabun mandi, pasta gigi, dan lain-lain. Which means, I also want to buy toiletries such as shampoo, body soap, and toothpaste.
Baiklah, hari Minggu saya jemput kamu di rumah. Baiklah, hari Minggu saya jemput kamu di rumah. Which means, okay, I will pick you up at your home on Sunday. Kita pergi ke pasar modern bersama-sama. Kita pergi ke pasar modern bersama-sama. Which means, we go to the modern market together.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and
sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which presents you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presenting Keroncong songs dedicated by M. Rifani. Well, listener, now we'll play the first song entitled Keroncong Sapulidi by M. Rifani.
Sapulidi
Song Sapulidi is one of our original Kroncong songs composed by NN. The song consisted of three parts of ABC to be sung twice. Other original Kroncong songs, namely Kroncong Dewi Murni, composed by Sari Wono and Uchin N, Kroncong Suci composed by Ismail Marzuki. The song has lyrics like poem that dedicates messages about life philosophy that was taken from coconut tree. The message of the song tells about inner beauty and the spirit to fight for beloved nation. Listener, let's listen to a Kroncong song entitled Ariati by M. Rifani.
Ariati di kau mawar asuhan rembulan, Ariati di kau gemilang seni pujaan, dosa kehampa tadi malam, dosa kehamba mengujani kau dalam mimpi. Hanya dalam Dik kau mawar di taman hayalku. Tak mungkin Tuhan terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia seribu satu dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan. Ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba satu malam anyaki.
Listener, the song Aryati composed by Ismail Marzuki in 1940s. Although the song was popular in a struggling period of Indonesia, the song also completed with love story. The song is still enjoyed by music lovers until at present. Like the song with the theme of love, the song Aryati also has romantic lyrics by giving a symbol of flowers for a beautiful girl, such as the rose and jasmine. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, we'll dedicate to you the last two songs entitled Telaga Dewa and Pasir Putih by M. Rifani. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Terima kasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.